Then we were talking about this week's theme is, what's it say on the bag? What you were always meant to be. Yeah, what you were always meant to be. Then whatever you want to be, you want to be a great musician, or you want to be a good teacher, or you want to be a, business person, or you want to be a yoga teacher. In the end, the best karma you can make is to teach other people, right? And to teach them about these things. And that those seeds will ripen into you becoming what you want to be. I'll tell you something cool about the seeds, okay? Plant the seeds for what you want, right? Couples come to me, lots of couples, and one person will want one thing, and the other person will want the opposite thing, and they want advice, you know, and they're hoping that I will take one side or the other, you see. If I sneeze, someone will interpret it as supporting their side. But in this system, it's different. You see, it's very interesting. Each member of a partnership can have exactly what they want, even if it's the opposite of what the other person wants. In this system, that's no contradiction. Okay, right? Where is that? In this system, you see, we're not talking dogs and people. We're not talking chew toys and pens, right? We're talking one person wants to have a kid and the other person doesn't. You know? I heard this lady one time. The husband wanted to have a kid, which is unusual. And the lady was like, I'd rather have cancer. You know? And so they come to me. I'm supposed to referee this thing. Each person in a relationship, plant the seeds for what you most want, even if it's the opposite of what the other person wants, okay? The person who wants the child should help other people who have children, or help in a children's hospital, okay? We had a couple in Ireland, Warren Riley, okay? He came to the first DCI retreat in Vienna. We call it the Volcano Retreat, because the open talk we did from Mercedes' dad's living room to Vienna because of the volcano. We got stuck in Toronto. But then we did the 3 days. So we did that by video, big video thing. And then we got there on the first flight to Europe. And we did the retreat, 3 day retreat. He came, Warren Riley came, they had some miscarriages, and they wanted to have a baby. So, you know, we worked on the seeds. They had their child last month. They had a boy. They had already a girl, and they wanted a boy. So we designed a boy. So one partner could create the seeds for that, you know. And the other person wants to not have children. They want to, they want to go on retreat or something, okay? Then they would create those seeds. We would help them create those seeds. What I'm trying to get you to appreciate is that both seeds will ripen into some miraculous result where both parties get exactly what they want, you know? All right? Like, you think it's impossible. Right? For one thing to be two opposite things. In this system, it's not. Everyone can have what they want. There's no limit on how the seeds can ripen. It's very beautiful. Don't even try to guess how it would happen. In this case, it's hard to imagine, right? Don't even try to guess. Just quietly work on the seeds. And, you know, Warren Riley's wife didn't really believe it would work. You know? And especially didn't believe we could design a boy. Just plant the seeds. You know? Just plant the seeds and then relax. You know? And it will come. And what I'm trying to say is how it will come is unimaginable. You don't even try to guess. Okay? It will come and it will be a miracle. Because everything's a miracle. Okay? I mean, to be sitting here together is a miracle. Right? But it already happened, so we just think it's okay. I think it's normal. Okay? If you plant the seeds properly, even conflicting desires of people who live in the same house can all be fulfilled precisely the way they wanted. Okay? It's very beautiful. All right. Teta sang sing la mitawar chuche pani penyin chete. If you teach the Dharma without a motivation of trying to get some money or fame or attention from people, a lot of people use it for attention. Some people use it for sex. Some people use it for money. Some people want attention. Okay? Teach without those motives, or at least try to improve your motives. Chepani penyin chete. Laksam kuwe dole. And then you will get the following benefits that the Buddha described in the sutra on laksam, taking responsibility. Okay? Laksam kuwe do. Jampa. Nishu po di ni sang sing me pe chuki jimba nyepa dang kurti min dupar chuki jimba jimba kanyan ba de penyin yinde. Here are 20 benefits, he says to Jampa. Who's that? Maitreya. Okay. Maitreya in those days was just a bodhisattva, masquerading as a bodhisattva. Okay. So he's addressing Maitreya. He says, Maitreya, there are 20 different karmic, cool things that will happen to you if you teach the Dharma with a pure heart and without those, what do you call it? Ulterior motives. Right? Okay. Here are the 20. Temba dan temba gyuwa dan lodu dan temba gyuwa dan lodan temba gyuwa dan temba dan temba gyuwa dan shira dan temba gyuwa dan jiten ne depe shirab jesu topa gyuwa dan. So he starts with 6, okay? Leave room, okay? When Geshe Thupten Rinchen teaches, he's always like, he's over there. Where is he? Black and white, on this side of me. Okay? He's the greatest scripture teacher I ever met. So he would say, leave some room. Put 6 numbers, but leave some room, okay, for writing. Then he'll lean over and check that you did it. And if you didn't, you get the rosary. Okay. Dembadan Demba Gyoro means, number one, well, let me change this, okay? Later on, lamas figured out that these 20 results that you can get can be divided into the 4 great types of karmic ripenings, okay? So all karmas, all seeds, ripen in 4 different ways. There are 4 different ripenings that come from any particular action. Let's go over those first, okay? Because the 20 are always taught within the framework of those 4. We did this in, where were we? Guangzhou. We did it in Guangzhou recently, okay? Here are the 4, okay? One is called, how do we say? I want to get the right order, in the order that they do it. Okay. I'm going to give you the 4 from another Lamrim, okay? It's a nice presentation of the 4. Here's the traditional order of the 4, okay? First is called Namin Ki Drebu. Say Namin Ki Drebu. Namin means Pachaka, it means maturation. Literally, it means for a karma to mature. All right? In the Sanskrit, it means to cook. So when we say, we can call it a ripening result. A ripening result. There are four results of any action that you do. There are four kinds of ways in which karma ripen. The first one is called a ripening. Of course, it's a general name, right? But a ripening means something will ripen as a future birth, okay? This will ripen into where you go after you die. That's the first kind of karmic ripening. Any action you do will influence where you go after you die. Where you go is a bad... I don't like the phrase, right? Where you go assumes there's a place and then you go to it, right? That's not what happens. There are seeds in your mind, you die, then those seeds ripen and throw in front of you as you walk. They throw in front of you a new reality. You see what I mean? I like, when I was in New Jersey studying with Rinpoche, one day he decided he needed a path to the driveway. So the driveway's on the other side of the lawn. So we had to go get slates, and we had to make a path. And then he didn't like the way we made it the first time, and then we had to tear it up. We had to do it all again. So it wasn't just me. Then there was this... He kept making us do it over and over again. And then finally I figured out he must be teaching us about numbing, you know, ripening results. Because you would put down a slate, and then you would step onto it, and then you would put down the next slate, and then you would put down the next one. And your reality is like that. Your mind is throwing forth the next moment's reality. And you step into it. And then it throws forth the next moment's reality. And you step into that. As if you were putting down stones and walking across them. You see what I mean? Even Lama Christy likes this one a lot. When you read a book, when you read a science fiction book, all the pages are blank. Okay? They make them. They save ink. All the pages are blank. Then you, as you turn the page, your mind throws down words. You see? So if it's not a very good book, it's your fault. Alright? All the books you ever read, all the movies you ever saw, the next famous frame is being thrown forth from your mind. Okay? It's very interesting. So that's a numbing kadibu. Numbing kadibu means what kind of reality, what kind of world will be thrown ahead of you by your actions, by your seeds, okay? In this case, what action are we talking about? Teaching, okay? Teaching these ideas, just teaching the ideas. We're not teaching a doctrine or a religion or just ideas that will help people, okay? So, what will be what reality will be thrown in front of you if you teach? Okay, that's the first one. Okay, second is called Gyutun Gyidebu. Gyutun Gyidebu. Gyutun means the result resembles the cause, and there are two of them. Okay, one is called Nyongwa Gyutun, and one is called Chepa Gyutun. Okay, so Gyutun means a result, karmic result, where what comes to you resembles what you did. Okay? And that has two versions of it. The first is called a similar experience. And the second is called let's call it propensity or something. Okay? Habit. Similar habit. Okay, yeah. But they're both considered part of one kind of result, which is called a result which resembles the cause. And then that has two parts. The first one is similar experience, and the second is called similar actions. All right. What does similar experience mean? They like to take when they discuss the four types of karmic ripenings in a scripture, they are usually taking the 10 non-virtues, okay? Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, slander, harsh words, idle gossip, craving, ill will, and wrong view. Okay? So they are taking those 10, and they are saying, what will be the Namenkin Debu? What will be the Gyutungi Debu? What will be the Nyongwa Gyutung? What will be the Chepa Gyutung? And then they go through that. If you were doing a debate, you would, you know. So what's the first non-virtue? Taking life. Okay, taking life. The Namenkin Debu, the first result, karmic maturation, meaning into the next life, would be what? You'd be born in a lower realm, okay? You'd be an animal. See, it's not like they have animals laying around and you pop out of this life and your soul starts to fly off and someone grabs it and shoves it into an animal. It's not like that, okay? You have seeds in your mind. The seeds to see this as a hand wear out. Why? Because you had a hand. Okay? Having a hand, every hour that you have a hand, costs you a lot of seeds. Then you run out. The debit, you come into this life with a debit card and you use it up. And most people never charge it anymore. Any new credit. So the debit card runs out. The seeds to see this as a hand wear out, finish. And then whatever other seeds you have laying around assert themselves. Then you see a paw with claws. You see? Then you... To say you've been reborn as an animal, I don't like the language of it, right? The wording of it is confusing. It's not that you go into an animal's body or something. Your seeds change. Then your perceptions change. And you see a paw where there used to be a hand. Okay? And that makes it a lot more plausible that you could be an animal an hour from now. Okay? You get hit by one of those little electric carts in the right way. You know? On the way out of here. Which again is just another thing thrown forth by your mind, right? And then the thing that you saw as a hand, you see as a paw. And you're hungry for dog food. You know? And then you are a dog. And that's all that makes you a dog. It's your perceptions. You aren't a dog. You're just seeing yourself as a dog. But that's what it is to be a dog. And you became a dog. Okay? And you won't remember who you were before. And it will just always be have been a paw. And it will seem natural to you. And you want to chew the pen instead of writing it in. Alright? That's all. It takes a few seconds for everybody. They talk 7 days in the bardo, 49 days in the bardo. You know, it only takes a few seconds. And then the perceptions change, and you're a different creature, and you don't remember that you are anything else, okay? That's all. So that's a first kind of result, okay? Namenkin Debu. Second one. Nyongwa Gyutung means... They give the example here. Even if you avoided a lower life after you died, then if you had engaged in killing, he gives all the examples. If you had killed, taken life, your life would be shorter. If you had stolen, you would be poor. If you had committed sexual misconduct, you wouldn't be able to hold on to your partner. If you had lied, people would speak bad, people would berate you. If you had split people up, you would lose your friends. If you had spoken harsh words, you would always hear unpleasant sounds. If you had wasted time with idle gossip, nobody would listen to you. If you had been unhappy that others got things, then you would be a person born with great uncontrollable appetites. If you had been a person who was happy that others got something bad, which is number 9, you would be born as an angry person. And then if you had misunderstood how to get a boyfriend, then you would be born as a stupid. You wouldn't have a very good intelligence. You see what I mean? So those are called nyamagyutin. Similar to what you did, you would have those experiences. Okay? It could be in the next life, it could be in this life. Okay? You lie in this life regularly, then people start to lie to you all the time. Okay? That's nyamagyutin. That's the second kind. Got it? Okay, third kind. Chepagyutin. Chepagyutin means it's easy, you just get the habit. If you lie once, you lie more. If you take life, if you eat fish once, then you get a taste for it, and you want to eat more, okay, like that. So it starts to multiply on itself, all right? I like to give the example, the one I gave in China, I think it's nice. When I teach this, I remember the first time I lied to my mother, okay? I remember. It was very difficult. You know, kids aren't very good at lying. I mean, well, it depends, right? But your mother says, you know, did you eat the cookies? And you're like, no. And then they're like, Dan, come on, you know. And you try to lie, right? And then you get more sophisticated at it, right? Did you eat the cookies, you know? I don't know, you know, my brother was up early. And, you know, and you get really sophisticated at it. Then as you get older, you get better and better at it. So it becomes a habit, right? You get better at lying and other things like that, okay? It's hard to break morality once, and the second time it's much easier. And then it becomes very easy, okay? All right, Chepagyutin. The fourth one is called Dakpa Dribu. Dakpo means what? Do you know Dak? Dak means self, right? Dakpo means the owner or the boss of something, okay? And this is called a boss result, okay? And then there's a debate in scripture, why do they call it a boss result? What's that mean? Or an owner result? What's that mean? And this particular author, who we should study sometime, actually this is Quicksilver, okay? Lama Quicksilver's Lama. You've did a lot of tantra from Lama Quicksilver. He's in the Vajragini lineage, Muchu Dharma Bhadra. He did a great Lama. But anyway, he explains the word owner in a way that I've never seen anyone else explain it. He says, you sort of own the place you live in, or you are like the boss of the place. You are the boss of the physical situation that you live in, right? So you're like the owner of your apartment, or you're the owner of your house. Or if you're sitting in your car, you're the owner of the car, right? So when they say owner result, it means an environmental result. A result that is expressed in the environment around you, because that's sort of the place that you own. Okay? Got it? So, you don't know, if you're interested in Tibetan and you ever come to that phrase, it's very confusing. Why should they call it an owner result? But it means the environment around you, right? And then he has a long explanation. I don't know, you want that? This is kind of karmic correlations, okay? I mean, you could study it sometime. It's not what we're doing today. I'll go fast. I think Dulce was frustrated, like, you're going too fast, man. But anyway, it's not what we're studying, but I'm just going to do it fast, okay? Here we go. With regard to the 10 non-virtues. If you kill, then the place in which you live, the country in which you live will be one of, what do you call it? Third world country. And the trees and the medicines and the food of that place will not have nutritional power. Okay? I don't know, I've been to some countries like India, and you can eat the same amount of rice, or you can eat the same vegetables, and somehow it feels like you ate paper, and you don't feel anything. So that would be a karmic result, okay? Environmental result. Majin nengi logto nyuma. If you steal, the crops in your country won't be good. They won't ripen at the proper time. And there will be, what do you call it, when the crops are all wiped out, like plague and famine, okay? They will wipe out the crops. Okay? Kamshin mepagyan. Lokyam, sexual misconduct. I put this in the Diamond Cutter book, and everyone, that's the first thing they ask about. Okay, if you engage in sexual misconduct, then you will live in a place which is polluted. Okay, the rivers will be polluted. There'll be garbage smells. There are some cities that have, I don't know, sewer smells? Bangkok. You know, walk through Bangkok and it just smells like a sewer. You know, it smells like a durian fruit. They have a fruit that smells like poop. It's illegal to open one in an elevator or take one on an airplane. Okay, and it's just... That's just the way it is, okay? Some people like that, I don't know. You have to hold your nose and eat it, which is kind of contradictory, but I don't know. But anyway, you will be surrounded by foul, like industrial pollution and water pollution and air pollution, okay? What do you call that? What they're doing to the upper atmosphere. Ozone, depleted ozone. Or you'll have fracking start in your country. They'll start blowing up mountains to get like half a gallon of oil. All right. By lying, you will be born into a country where people are cheating each other and where there are a lot of frightening things going on. Okay. By splitting up people, this is interesting. Transportation will be difficult in your country. There'll be lots of, what do you call, mountains, like sudden mountains, what do you call? You know, mountain spines running through the country. Or Tibet has streams, rivers. They have to have hundreds of bridges to go anywhere. Okay, like your country will be split up geographically and it will make it difficult to transport food or people or things like that, okay? The country will be rough and unhospitable. Okay. By saying rough things, right? What do you call it? Harsh words, right? Sacho kondum dang sermadang. The place in which you live will have lots of cactuses and boulders and rocks all around and broken glass. And stuff like that. Okay, so that's what we did. All right. Nakyalki, what do you call it? Meaningless gossip. Then that creates. This is interesting. Crops and fruits and projects never bear their proper fruit. Like you start a, people in your country start to build a bridge or something and it never gets finished. Like those highways that just end in the sky. Nobody had the money to finish them. Or you see big buildings, people didn't have the money to finish them. Or, like I have a jasmine plant. And it took me 2 years to get it big and healthy. And then all these buds came out. And I was like, and when they opened the whole, they open it, especially in the evening, and when you come home, the whole like half a mile smells like jasmine. It's some kind of extraordinary jasmine called, it's a star, it's a kind of star jasmine. And it's just so wonderful. So I was like, oh, this is so cool. The buds all came out. Then there was a really bad freeze last winter. We were here, right? All the buds got killed. And they never came back, you know? So I'm waiting for this spring, you see? So for a year, there was no jasmine at all. I had to water this stupid thing. and it didn't do anything. Okay? Like that. That's from you idle talk. Idle talk means, hey, let's do this big project and blah, 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 and then you never do anything. And then you live in a world where nothing happens. Everybody talks big and nothing really happens. Okay? All right. Okay. Nap sang ki punsok tamje lo da shak re shin nyamba gyurwa. By being unhappy when someone else gets something nice, which is number 8, right? Bad deed number 8. Then he says it this way, day by day, month by month, year by year, all the things you have that you value or treasure, you start to lose them. Because you didn't want others to have them, you see? So you lose your, I don't know, your car breaks, then you don't have a place to stay, you know. Then your favorite pair of pants splits out, your yoga pants, right? Like that. Just one by one, things, your girlfriend leaves you. Everything you had that was cool, you lose one by one. Okay. Napsam. Napsam means happy that something bad happened to somebody else. Number 9, right? Punzo, sorry, it's called Nusam. Nusam ki yam nedam maktuk. In your country, there are serious diseases which are, what do you call, catchy, contagious diseases, like HIV or something like that, okay? And then maktuk, wars and political problems, okay, in that country. It could be caused by humans or by other forces, like natural problems, okay? Then finally, lokta means what? Believing that boyfriends come from lipstick, okay? Basically, okay? Wrong view. That's my new definition of wrong view. Jikden na yoje junkung nam nupa. This is interesting. Sources of natural resources in your world will start to become depleted. Okay? The natural wealth of your world will be depleted. Okay? That's interesting. Okay, so now we've got the 4 kinds of karmic results, right? Now we're going to go back and apply them to someone who teaches, okay? If you teach other people, if you share what you've learned with other people, then what will come to you in these 4 categories, right? And he doesn't quite follow the 4 categories, but we'll get there. And remember that we're taking 20... karmic results from a sutra means Lord Buddha stated if you teach, these 20 things are going to happen to you. Alright? So the first 6 are Gyutingi Debu, similar to the cause. By the way, no, he doesn't explain them in this Lamrim. If you read the English, he names the 20, and then he says these can be divided out into 4, and then he says 6 of these, 9 of these, 4 of these, 1 of these, and then he just drops it. He doesn't tell you what they are. So I went and found them because of Mr. Stivers, right? Where is he? Yeah, okay. So I can go in the database and go find them. They were mentioned by somebody else 100 years later. Okay? And so here they are. It's cool. Okay. Otherwise, you wouldn't have them. They're not in the English translation. Okay. Here we go. First 6. I gotta skip to another place. These are all results that are similar to what you did. All right. Not the habit kind so much, but the experience kind. All right. Got it. Okay. Here we go. Dhyamba dan dhyamba means you will have a good memory. But that's... these all have special meaning. They all have other meanings, okay? You will have a good memory means you will remember the Dharma that you're teaching, okay? All right? It doesn't mean you know where your keys are, okay? Okay? It means you'll remember what you're going to teach, All right. And I remembered the word for remembering Dharma is called Chögyam Thigyam Zen. So this is a kind of, you reach a kind of meditation place where you can remember the details of every teaching you ever had. Okay? So that's a karma that will come from teaching. All right? If you teach others, you will remember the fine details. Like you get up to teach and suddenly it just comes on you. We supported an orphanage in the Bahamas, Diamond Mountain. We sent money to this cool orphanage we found, and it's been run for 50 years by this old black minister on a separate island, on this little rocky island. He built a summer camp. Actually, it's a winter camp, right? For the children. And I think most of the recent prime ministers of the Bahamas are students of his. Like, he's just amazing. And he brought up these children and he trained them. And it's like the guy in X-Men. Who's that guy? In the wheelchair. He's like that, you know? And then he used to come and give sermons at Shivananda Center. And I'd say, you know, I never saw you refer to notes ever. And he said, I don't need notes. You know, I said, why? And he says, the Lord just fills me. I don't even worry about it. You know, I get up, I stand up, and I let the Lord come and flow into me. You know, and he's an amazing speaker. He passed away recently. But anyway, like that. You'll be like that. Dharma will flow into your mind the minute you get up in front of people. And that's a karma of teaching, all right? That's number one, okay? Number two. Lodur Dandamba means you will have intelligence, but it doesn't mean that, right? And Pabongwe Bhaje says, this means Dundam Gon Junking Nyepa. Dundam Gon Junking Nyepa. We talked about Tursam Gom, right? Tursam Gom. The three steps in the Buddhist educational theory. One is classroom time, one is forest walking time, or car sitting time, or airplane sitting time. And then gom is meditation on that subject. This is how a Buddhist learns a subject, right? So gom chungi sherab means any wisdom which is born from deep meditation is called gom chungi sherab, okay? So the second karmic result of teaching other people is that you will have deep meditational experiences. You will have deep meditational experiences, okay? In your meditations. Then he says dundam. Dundam means ultimate reality, okay? Not just about anything, but about ultimate reality. You will have deep meditational experiences about ultimate reality, okay? You can even say mainly the direct perception of emptiness, okay? You can say that, okay? Tonglam, the direct perception of emptiness. Okay, this is all like if you go put up flyers in Phoenix and two people come to Glendale to your class. We're talking real life here, okay? I'm talking about that. Number three, Lodan Dembani. You will come to have a good mind, all right? You will come to have a good mind. And it doesn't mean that, right? Good mind means kunzob sam chungi nyepa. You will have intellectual realizations of emptiness. Okay? Standing in front of the stove, you will catch your mind creating the teapot from a karmic seed. This mainly depends on origination, right? You will catch yourself creating the reality around you, which is different from emptiness, right? Emptiness is the fact that nothing was in any other way than that. And intellectual means you figure out where you'll get the boyfriend if you go to the nursing home. Emptiness means you throw away all your lipstick and clothes. Okay? It's real. Dependent origination means you understand the correct cause of a boyfriend. Emptiness means you reject the old ways you used to try to get a boyfriend. Got it? They're different. One is a positive thing. you start going to the nursing home. One is a negative thing. You don't try anymore the things that don't work. Okay? You just give up on them. That's emptiness. All right? You reject the things that don't work. Doesn't mean you can't wear lipstick. It doesn't mean that. But you do it because it's fun and not because you think it's going to get the boy. All right. Which one are we on? I'm just checking to see if you're awake. Okay. Temba dandemba means... Temba dandemba means you will become steadfast. Okay? You will become steadfast. Then he explains it, okay? Here's how he explains it. You won't get ripped off. And he leaves it. He leaves it like that. So, I found another contour. Where is that? Oh, okay. You won't be ripped off by your old viewpoints. You can't drop back into your old viewpoints and go back to Sephora and spend hours trying to decide between the pink and the red lipstick. Okay? You will be able to keep your new viewpoints. Because some people, they make a breakthrough and then they slide back into the old thing. Okay? So that's what steadfast means. You won't slide back into the old thing. Okay, let's go back to the... What are we on? Five. Shut up, Dandemba. You will have wisdom. And that refers specifically to your intellectual realizations of ultimate reality will move up to what's called the path of preparation, a path of accumulation and the path of preparation. It means you will step onto the paths which take you quickly to nirvana because you understand where things are coming from, okay, intellectually. So higher intellectual understandings of where the world is coming from, okay? We already had some, right? These are higher. We had some in what? Intelligence, right? Now it's graduated to wisdom. Number six, jiten na depe. Oh, by the way, there's also a thing called worldly intelligence, worldly wisdom and transcendent wisdom, okay? And it's something relates to the breathing meditation thing, okay? And it relates to peace, attaining peace in your mind, okay? Then if you watch your breath for long periods of time, you will attain a kind of peace, okay? Then you get in your car and you start driving, right? And you run into a problem in traffic. But because of your breath meditation, you don't get upset the first time. Then you go another 3 miles and there's another accident. And then you start to get a little irritated. And then if there's 4 or 5 accidents and you're really late and your boss is calling you on the cell phone, then you lose it. Because the breathing meditation hasn't changed your perception of where things come from. So it's called a worldly peace, meaning it can be attacked by events and destroyed by situations. Okay? If you run into enough traffic jams, anybody will get irritated if their peace is derived from watching their breath. Okay? Then there's what's called a transcendent wisdom, which is number six, okay? Number six. Number six means a transcendent wisdom. It means a wisdom which is born from understanding that stuff is coming from you. Okay? So you're driving down the road, you hit a traffic jam. You don't lose your temper because you understand it's coming from you. And if you lost your temper, it might create another traffic jam tomorrow. Okay? So you keep your patience because of your understanding and not because you had a good yoga class the hour before and not because you had a nice breath meditation before, but your raw understanding prevents you from getting angry. I understand that if I get upset at the traffic, I will have more traffic tomorrow. Okay? That understanding doesn't get weaker the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth traffic jam. Okay? The peace which comes from having had a good breakfast or a good meditation in the morning on your breath or a good yoga class that was really, you know, you stretched a lot. Those things fail you. They wear out. They wear off. You know, if you don't do one the next day, you get more irritated, right? Wisdom, understanding where stuff comes from, only gets stronger as you get more problems. Okay? So you go through the traffic jam. I'm not going to get mad because I don't want a worse traffic jam tomorrow. You get home, your husband yells at you, and you're like, I'm not going to get mad at him because I don't want him here tomorrow either. Okay? Like that, okay? All right? Okay? It's just, it cannot be foiled. Understanding cannot, it won't break down. A good breakfast will break down in time. You know, you'll be cheerful for a while and then something will happen. You see what I mean? So in the scriptures, a good breakfast, a good breath meditation, a good yoga class, the temporary effect they have on you is called worldly peace. And the peace that comes from understanding that stuff is coming from you is called transcendent peace. And that cannot be, that will not break down as things get tougher. Okay? That will stay. That doesn't break down. That only gets better and better as your life goes on. That protects you more. That's refuge, right? Okay. So that's the final of the six similar results that come, the karmic similar results that come from teaching other people is that kind of transcendent understanding and that transcendent way of dealing with problems. Okay? My boyfriend, when I first met him, he was writing me poetry, he was taking me out to dinner, he was texting me nice things, you know. And then one day, we were out to dinner, and he said, I don't like Italian food. And I'm like, we've been going out for 3 years, we've gone to like 50 Italian restaurants. Now you decide you don't like Italian food. I love Italian food, you know? And that's the first crack in the relationship, right? And it only gets worse, right? It only gets worse, you see? So a person who's been trained goes home and says, I have denied someone else what they enjoy. In my life, I'm denying someone else what they enjoy. In a much smaller way. Okay? Because seeds are infinitely smaller than trees. I must be denying someone else what they enjoy in a small way. Then you gotta be a detective and go through your life. Then you finally figure out that, I don't know, at work, you know, you were the supervisor and you told the company they didn't have to put decaf coffee out for people, because only one person liked it. And then you figure out you're refusing somebody their decaf coffee at work. So you start to buy decaf coffee and make sure it's there at work. You provide a tiny little thing that someone else wanted, you know? And then suddenly your husband is like, let's go to Machuki's Italian restaurant. And you're like, I thought you didn't like Italian. He says, no, that isn't what I said. You know, I was talking about, you know, and the reality will change. He'll say, I was talking about Macedonian. Or, you know, I didn't mean Italian. Did I say Italian? You know, and it would have been Italian if you hadn't given the decaf. Got it? We're talking about changing reality. We're talking about changing your husband's likes and dislikes by offering decaf to somebody. Got it? It's very beautiful. It's very interesting. Then he'll say, I never said I didn't like Italian. He'll get all upset. He'll force you to go to Italian. All right? You got to understand what we're dealing with. This is a really cool system. You're talking about changing the reality of your partner. It's very interesting. It's really cool, okay? That's transcendent wisdom. you will gain the capacity to pull stuff off, little miracles like that off, if you teach people. Okay? You will get better and better at pulling off miracles with your husband if you teach people. Got it? That wisdom will start to flow into your mind and you'll start to deal with all situations that way. Okay? Got it? It's very interesting. So you gotta teach. You gotta teach. Alright? Alright, I think we'll take a break. We just finished 6 results of teaching. We still have 14 to go from this sutra, and they're going to cover different kinds of karmic ripenings. Okay? Alright, so let's take let's come back at 3:22. Okay? Alright, have a good break. But this is a sales job, right? I'm trying to sell you on what? Teaching, okay? But it's not me, it's the Buddha. Okay, the Buddha is saying 20 cool things will happen to you if you teach. He's got finished with 6, right? The next are called Trail De Shi Se Trail De Shi. These are not traditionally types of results that are presented when you talk about karma. Okay, so I didn't talk about this kind of result yet. There's 4 of them. They're called Trail De. Trail De means karmic result where you lose something. Okay, we didn't cover that in the 4 that I mentioned. This, you can call it a 5th. But it's rarely presented among the karmic results. But Lord Buddha threw it in there. If you want to study that, you have to study Abhidhamma Kosha's 2nd chapter. Okay? I think it's 2nd chapter. So there will be 4 kind of karmas if you teach where you will start to lose something. Okay? Number 1, you will want things less in a wrong way. Okay? Right? Like you won't want a 3rd biscotti and you won't want to take someone's partner away from them, or you won't want to injure someone who attacks your country or something like that, okay? You will slowly, your desires to do things that are harmful will slowly disappear. Then you become a much more contented person, right? A happy person. It doesn't mean you can't have a jaguar. If you want a jaguar, plant the seeds for a jaguar. Okay? The planting of seeds for a jaguar always involves helping other people. So it's not a bad thing to get a jaguar. Because you can only get one by helping other people. So don't stress about being, you know, this thing about no results. Read the Bhagavad Gita more carefully. It's all, people misunderstood it, okay? Anyway, Shedang Chumagyur, number 2 of the separation results. They call them separation results. Your capacity to be angered will start to diminish or to be upset. Okay? If you teach other people, the karma of that is that your capacity to be upset will start to become less and less. Okay? It takes bigger and bigger things to upset you. Alright? And we know why, right? A traffic jam happens. Your husband says he doesn't like the dinner that you cook for 5 hours. A well-trained person understands that this is coming from them. But it's not some kind of, what do you call it? Resignation. It's not like you're, he's telling me he doesn't like the dinner because I complained to my mother about the birthday gift she gave me. Okay? Something like that. I'll just have to put up with it. It's not that. It's, let's fix him. You know? Let's upgrade him. Okay? It's always positive. And you never get angry at him. You're not like, oh, I cooked it for 5 hours. You're like, oh yeah, I have been mistreating my mother. So I'll treat her better. And then this schmuck will change. Okay? All right? All right? No, really. So it's always positive. It's never like, oh, it's all my karma. And, you know, it's not like that. Let's fix him. Okay? Like that. But that means you don't get upset. You're just thinking how to fix him. Right? You're thinking rationally about how to fix him. Okay? Number three. Timukchungwa. Your misunderstanding of where boyfriends come from will get less and less. Okay? Your ignorance will get less and less. That means you'll be happier because you'll stop doing things that only make you aggravated. Okay? Like going to clubs and stuff. All right. Number four. Duki de la lakmi nepa girwa. Pabongkor Mbiche gives it, and then there's another commentary which clarifies it, and I'm going to give you the clarification. The other commentary says, there's a wonderful commentary to the Lamrim Chenmo called the Chenshi. Chenshi means there were four great commentaries on the Lamrim Chenmo, on the great Lamrim. And somebody took all four of those and interlaced them. You know, so a 1,000-page text became a 4,000-page text. And they interlaced on carving. They carved it. The four people's comments on every phrase, you know, and it's beautiful. If you want to teach that, it would take like 50 years. Really. So anyway, I'm quoting that. It's a beautiful text. So anyway, Duki de la la minyepanas means there are... there are negative influences, which are persons, okay? What do you call? Spirits, okay? There are such things, okay? You don't believe in them because you grew up in America or something like that. So they have their will with you. They love you. They love the fact that you don't believe in them. You know, but there are spirits who can affect your moods and affect your actions. When you are overcome with a sudden, what do you call that? It's not an urge, but it's a, you just overcome, like your day is going perfectly well, you know, and you're having a good day. And then, let's say you're an alcoholic, or let's say you're a sexaholic, okay? And your day is going very well, and you're having a good day, and you've served people and you're happy. And then suddenly, you open the fridge and somebody has put a beer in there. Okay? And then suddenly your mind is just torn away. Your whole goodness is torn away. And you lose control. And you drink the beer, you know? Or you go on the internet and you're like, you know, looking at girls, or you eat the whole, you go to have one Pringle. And then suddenly you're swept away. And you're like, you know? And you did it. It's something you've been doing well on your food cravings. You haven't done that for 3 weeks. And then just suddenly it seems like the right thing to do. And you even have a discussion with yourself. You're like, wait a minute, I thought we were over the Pringles dump stage. And you're like, yeah, I am over that. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Huh. You know, and then... you know those things. You're doing pretty well. You know, you have a problem with anger, and you're doing pretty well. You haven't gotten angry for 3 weeks. And then suddenly somebody says something. And then this righteousness comes over you. Like, this person deserves my anger. And you get all angry. And then 3 days later, you realize it was just some, like... We say it's a demon's influence. We say it's a spirit influence. They grab your mind, and they trash it. And usually you're not even fully aware of it until 2 or 3 days later. I can't believe I ate a whole can of Pringles like that. What got into me? It's the thing that's responsible for what got into me. Okay? And we say there are such spirits, okay? Their ability to influence your moods is greatly decreased if you teach other people. Okay? You become shielded from that kind of influence. All right? The fact that you are teaching others on a regular basis shields you from that kind of sudden impulse is the word. Impulses to do something unhealthy.
Okay.
You are protected from them. It's cool, right? So that's a nice karma. All right. Now there are 9 Dakpa Derbu, right? What's a Dakpa Derbu? Dakpo. Dakpo means owner. And it means environmental because you own the place where you live, right? So here are 9 environmental results that will come to you if you teach, all right? I don't think they're so environmental, but I'm just following the text, okay? I think they kind of stretched it, but who am I to say? I'm going to skip to where somebody explained them in more detail. Okay, this is the more detailed version from another Lamrim, okay? It's much more detailed. We're never going to finish the 10 classes, you know that. you knew that. I mean, I just trashed it. Okay, all right, here we go. Sangye Chomden Den Nam Ki Gomba Gyuwa. And then the commentator has added Bhuchigba Dupatar. The Buddhas of the universe will always... How do you say? Will look upon you with special love and special attention. Okay? And then the commentator said, as if you were their beautiful only child. Okay? So you get extra attention from all the enlightened beings. Like, you come on the radar. When you start teaching, you come up on the radar of the enlightened beings. Oh, this person is special. You know, we have to take care of this one especially. They take care of everybody, right? But you come up on the radar as high priority. You know, you're like, oh, this person is teaching, you know. This person has got to the highest activity there is. All right? And then they're really happy and they really feel even more intense love for you and they help you, okay? Way. The next one says, "Mi mayimba, mi dam mi mayimba nam sumar gyurwa." So the text only says humans and non-humans will protect you. The commentary expands on that. Chokyong chula sopa karchoki la ngumba gawe mi dam mi mayimba nam ki dela sumar gyurwa. There are guardian angels or high beings whose duty, sworn duty, right? They took a vow to protect the teachings and to protect the people who are teaching, right? So when you start teaching, you also come up on the demon's radar. And they will start causing you problems, right? We were in Taiwan, you know. I opened my mouth and then the wall bursts open and water starts pouring out, you know, and they're like, you know, and then the people, the owner came and said, you are such a holy person, you know, and I'm like, huh? And he says, look, water's pouring out of the wall. That's ultimate good sign in Chinese culture, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, anyway, there are beings who are sworn to protect teachers, and so they will protect you. They shield you, okay? There are beings, holy beings, whose main duty is to protect people who are teaching, okay? And they will come protect you, okay? Flanam de la Sijin. Then the commentator expands it to Tsamba Dangyajin, so Planam de la Sujin Dangden Top Kepagyawa. There are other beings who are very powerful, devas, that if you start teaching, because of the pleasure it gives them that you're teaching. They influence your appearance, okay? And you start to take on a more... we had a lady in Guangzhou. I don't think she'd mind if I mention her name. It's Vivian. You know Vivian, right? When I met... Vivian came to Hong Kong when I was teaching there. She was a wreck. She was a TV commentator, news commentator in China, southern China. And she was overworked, she was overweight, low energy, and she wanted us to do a talk in southern China. And she was obsessed with the money. You know, we spent hours talking about the money. I could care less, you know. And then she spent $30,000 extra. She tried to get $30,000 out of us. And we're like, you know. And then she started teaching. Okay? And you wouldn't recognize her. She looks about 25 years younger. She shines. Totally peaceful. The last time we sat down to negotiate the money for the talk, she's like, you take it all. I don't care. Give it to some charity, you know? And I'm like, excuse me, what did they say in the Harry Potter movies? Where did you put the real... what do they call it? What's her name? Hermione. Where's the real Hermione? What have you done with the real Hermione? You know, like, I'm like, what have you done with Vivian? Where's Vivian? You know? And she's shining. She's totally shining. And you get this... Sijin means... when I was learning that word, I asked Rinpoche, what does Sijin mean? He said, come, look at the news, you know. He would watch the 5 o'clock, the 7 o'clock, and the 10 o'clock news. He'd say, come up to my room at 10 o'clock. And there was a program where Queen Elizabeth went to some ball, right? Or it was Princess Diana. I think it was Diana. Anyway, she got up on stage with 7 other nice-looking ladies. But she was... She was shining. She had a... What do you call it? What do you call it in Celtic culture? She had a glamour in the Celtic sense. She was like, huh. And that's the third result, okay? You come to take on a special shine. What do you call it? A shine, okay? Dung means shine. And Sijin means a sense of authority, you know, a look of authority. People see you as a person of authority and of resplendence, splendor. Okay? All right? Number three. Number four. Mitzawa Jala Sopa Namki Dela Todsam Dang Charka Dopa Soki Lak Nepa Mingyurwa. You become unassailable by people who would like to screw up what you're doing. Like people who don't like you. People who don't like you, people who don't like what you're trying to do. If you teach, you are automatically protected from them. Okay? People can attack you. I had that. I got attacked by somebody. My book sales doubled. Okay. Anyway, it's like that. And then the Chinese let me in to teach 1.2 billion people. You know, so I mean, what I mean is there's this thing in... The Buddha was under the Buddha tree, right? Bodhi tree. And he was about to get enlightened. And all these demons came with spears and arrows. And they, at the moment before his enlightenment, they all threw a spear and shot an arrow at him. And halfway to him, they changed into flower petals. Then he got enlightened, you know. So it's that. The karma of teaching is so powerful that even if somebody tried to attack you, it would change to flower petals by the time it hit you. Okay? It's very beautiful. It's a very strange thing. Okay? All right? Number five. Gewe shenyan dan zashe nam yi che shen chir de bat zewa nam yi che par gyur. Your own teacher and your friends, those who are close to you, your teacher and your friends, will have even more faith in you and even more love for you, and you will never be separated from them. Okay. That's almost worth it just for that, right? Alright, so you'll never be separated from your teacher. And your teacher and those close to you will have even more faith and devotion for you. Okay? If you teach. You'll come closer to your friends, family, and your teachers. And they will be happy with you. And they will love you. They'll have even more faith in you. Okay? That's beautiful. What was that? Number five? Number six. Rang du nye ku du nye me de sik tsum par de sum ru upa tsum par gyurwa dang. Sik tsum par gyurwa means people will respect what you say. Okay? That's a really cool karma. And it's just karma, right? Some people give a perfectly good suggestion, but they don't have good karma, and everyone says you're stupid. You know, other people give a foolish suggestion and they have good karma and everybody's like, you're a genius. You know, and it's nice to be the second kind of person. Okay, so it's nice to have people respect what you say, you know. It's nice to have people listen to what you say and think what you say is good and important. And it's very frustrating if you don't have that karma, right? And you're giving good suggestions. And you have important things to say, and you can make a great contribution, and people just don't hear it, you know? If you've ever been in any kind of company, that's a common karma, right? With your boss. Like, why don't we do it this way? No. But I had this, I did, no. Go sit down. Go back to, you know, typing. Whatever I told you to do, you know, like that. If you teach, then suddenly, karmically, people will think that everything you say has value, okay? Everything you say has meaning. You know? Even you're just blabbing and you're just joking and they're saying, oh, Geshe Michael's such profound jokes, you know? And, you know, and you didn't even intend it, you know? You know, like you burp and they're like, oh, it's a teaching on prana, you know? And, you know, and, really, it's kind of, it's fun. It's much better than not having anybody listen to you. Okay. Shera pyao shi nye kor dunya mepate dewe kepe dunsa mi jipa chowa kyoa. This is cool. If you teach other people with a good heart, you will gain the ability to address large groups of people with fearlessness. Okay? Like you can get up in front of, I don't know, Christine Walsh used to be nervous in front of two people. Now I put her up in front of 800 people and she blows them away. And she's no sign of nervousness at all, nothing. You know? And it happened on the last tour, right? We had some Chinese ladies, Jenny and Candy. They're very shy, they're very quiet. Wei Qi. Lun Shan also. Wei Qi was up there. She's from Taiwan. She's a short Chinese lady. I said, she was supposed to be in a debate, you know? And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And she's like, no? And then I said, then I'm like, Wei Qi, we got to do something here. I took her in the, they give us a dressing room, right? Usually it's a big theater and they have a room with all the lights on the mirrors and stuff. And I sat her down and I said, listen, pretend I'm your ex-husband and we're having a fight out there. You know, you gotta do it. There's gonna be like 600 people there tonight. You can't sit there like a mouse and, no, you know, I want you to pretend that I'm your ex-husband and we're having a fight. And then we went out there and it was great. And she just ripped it. And then, I think Ningbo put it on YouTube or something. It was so fun, he put it on YouTube. Maybe you can find it, but it's really funny. And she did a great job. So if you teach people with a good heart, your karma will change. And you can very comfortably address 1,000 people without any nervousness, or you won't forget what you're supposed to say, or, you know, you feel totally at ease addressing 1,000 people, okay? He adds that you also gain the capacity to speak to people who really know what it's all about comfortably. Like, it's one thing to give a talk to 1,000 people who never came to a Dharma talk. It's another thing to get up in front of all your peers and teach a yoga class, right? When most of them are yoga teachers, right? And there's a special form of number 7 where you are fearless in the face of your peers and your superiors as far as your teaching, okay? So you can teach in front of the Dalai Lama and you don't get nervous, you know? You're just fearless. You know what to say, even in front of people who are very well trained and great teachers in their own right. Okay, you don't have any hesitation or nervousness. Okay, all right. Number 8. You will be in a constant state of happiness, and small things will make you happy all day long. Okay, just small things. Okay, like somebody gives you a hot chocolate and you're like, God damn, it's the best. Lady Ruth has this. Lady Ruth, you know Ruth, right? So she teaches all these people yoga with a very good heart. And me and Lama Christie, before we went into a 3-year retreat, we had a class, a private class with her. And we said, look, we're going to be in this hut for 3 years. And can you teach us some yoga assists, you know, that we could do on each other? And then she said, okay, I'll teach you, you know. And she said, okay, first get me into a twist, you know. And then she said, do this and do this. Put your hand here, put your hand there, and twist, you know. And we tried. We didn't know what we're doing. We just kind of went like this. And then she goes, ah. Oh. And we're like, you know. And then she said, okay, now twist me back, you know, and do this kind of thing with your knee and your, and we did it, and she's like, you know, and her karma is that any little thing is blissful. Every little thing is blissful for her, you know. You give her an old flower that's already half dead, and she's like, you know, and okay, it's just because of she's teaching without any negative motivations, right? So little things throughout the day will give you intense pleasure. Okay? And that's true, and it's very sweet. Okay? Number 9. This is the last one, right? It's supposed to be environmental. I don't know. They don't sound too environmental to me. Anyway, maybe it's that the whole world will be like that. I don't know. Sangye chalsem dengkoma. You will be praised, especially by people who know what they're talking about. Okay? It's one thing to be praised by a foolish person, because they'll probably criticize you tomorrow. You know? They're praising you for the wrong reasons, and they're going to criticize you for the wrong reasons. But to be praised by somebody who's really a master, or a great teacher, or, you know, a very fine person. To have for example, your teacher, if you have a great teacher, then my teachers throughout my life have not praised me easily. You know, rarely. But when they praise you, it means a lot. You know, so meh. So, the 9th result is that your teachers and other people who are wise will praise what you're doing, and they will congratulate you, and they'll support you. Okay, that's very beautiful. It's a beautiful karma to have somebody who really is wise tell you you're doing good. Okay, that feels great, right? So that will happen. That's another karma. How many we got? We got one more? Yeah, let's do it. We have 5 minutes. No, we have more. 4:30, right? Is it 4:30 today? It is? Oh, okay, but we'll finish that and then I have some other things to talk about. Okay. One Namangidebu, right? Namangidebu is supposed to be the one that determines the birth that you take later, right? That was the... There's one. Namangidebu, Chichiki, Jimbawa, Danyan, Jisitambujawa. You will always be surrounded by fine teachers in your future lives, okay? And that's the biggest thing of all, okay? So you don't have to worry anymore if you teach with a good heart. Even in this life, you will always be exposed to the greatest and the best teachers, and they will love to teach you, okay? And that's a beautiful karma. You know, anything you want to learn, you have the best teacher in the world. And they devote themselves to helping you, okay? So, and there will come a time when you will see this result directly in meditation, and you can see your future teachers in your future lives. And there's usually this kind of dumb period until you're like 12 years old in your next life, where all the karma is just getting its act together and nothing much is happening. If you teach, that karma kicks in immediately and never stops. The minute you're born, you have a tutor. You have a spiritual tutor, high one. In Tibet they call Yongzhen. Yongzhen means a tutor from birth. The Dalai Lama has two Yongzhens, right? And you will have a Yongzhen. You will have someone instructing you in deep spiritual things the day you are born. And they will never stop. It'll be constant throughout the rest of this life. But it's very comforting to know that you will never be without your root teacher beyond this life. If you get in a car accident, it's not a big deal. Okay? They'll pick up in a few days or whatever. They'll start again. You see what I mean? It's very comforting to see that directly. Okay? To know that you will be in the care of a great heart teacher forever. That's very comforting. Then you don't feel, you never feel sad or alone, or you're always in the arms of your teacher and it never goes away. It never stops. And that's a beautiful karma. That's the most, how do you say, that's the greatest happiness you can have. The comfort to know that there's someone karmically that you cannot be separated from. And they will care for you until you get enlightened and after that. It's a very beautiful feeling to know there's someone like that. Okay? So if you teach, you will have that. Okay? So that's 20 karmic results, okay, of teaching. I think you should have bought it by now. Right? Okay. All right? Those are amazing, right? I think the last one is maybe the best, right? It's a very wonderful feeling. That's all. And then Pabongkhwa Rinpoche says, sorry, Trijang Rinpoche says, who's the second Lama from the left there, the one of the two lifetime tutors of the current Dalai Lama, and he was my teacher's root Lama, my Tibetan teacher's root Lama. So he says, the teacher then went on to describe how the 20 could be divided out into separate kinds of karmic causes. And we did that already, Okay, so it's not in the text. It's in other texts, and you have to import it. Okay, all right. I think, let's see, that's a good place. I think what we'll do is, I want to talk to you about the program for tonight, and then I'll take questions, okay? So we have like half an hour left. Monks and nuns are required by their vows to meet together twice a month and admit their mistakes to each other. And it's an ancient custom called sojong. Okay? Say sojong. So sojong means monks and nuns are required by their vows to get together on the full moon and the black moon. So it's automatic. You just look up in the sky and you know it's time. It's kind of fun. It's tonight. Tonight I have to go. And it used to be a very beautiful custom. And you know, maybe 7-8 monks would get together and 7-8 nuns would get together separately. And they would all sit around and say, you know, okay, I was checking out a girl in the bus station the other day. You know, and the other guy will say, you know, my uncle gave me some money and I didn't report it to the monastery, you know, and I was keeping money, which is a breaking a vow, right? And like that, they will confess to each other, you know. And I think it's a very beautiful custom. It obviously required a lot of, what do you call it? What do you call it when you don't rat on somebody else? Or you don't advertise somebody? Discretion. Yeah, which is lacking nowadays. So you can't have a really open confession group if you know somebody in the group is not discreet and if they're going to blab it to everybody else. So in the old days, in the monk's vows, it was very discreet. And you could even say, I had a thought at 2 a.m. I started daydreaming about some sexual fantasy thing. And everybody will listen to you very seriously. And then they will help you keep it for the next 2 weeks, you know. They'll grab you at breakfast and say, you know, hey, what happened last night? You know, and you say, oh, it was good. And they'll say, good for you, you know. And it became a support group. It was a nice support group. Nowadays it got corrupted, okay. I'm sorry to say. Sojong in a monastery like Sera, you know, 2,000 guys come into the temple. Then somebody gets up and says, and then you're done, and then they clap, and you all leave, you know. It got really corrupted. It's a sad thing. It's a really sad thing. You just blah, 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 and then you go home. Nobody thinks about anything, and I don't think so. Because it goes too fast. It's like, I confess everything. I confess everything. And you're like, wait, I want to confess something. And they're like, huh? What? We have a ceremony going on. You know? And you're like, so they don't do it anymore. Nobody confesses anything anymore. It's very sad. Anyway, so I like to do a sojong tonight. We'd like to do a sojong tonight. And because there's so many people, I think the way we'd like to do it, and because it's cold outside, last time was in the summer or something, right? And we all went down and sat around the fire. What we'd like to do tonight, Rob and I discussed it. We don't want you to get sick sitting out in the cold for 2 hours. So what we'd like to do is between now and, what time is it, 7? Between now and 7, I'd like you to write down on a piece of, I'd like you to get a piece of, you know, 8.5 by 11 paper, folded into 6 parts. That's a test. And, you know, and then rip it into 6 equal pieces, right? Write down 3 things you're really proud of in your life, okay? Let's make it your whole life. Like 3 things you did that were really good. that you would, that you're happy about and you would like to other people to know about. By the way, it's going to be anonymous, okay? Nobody will know whose is whose. All right? And then we'll have three pieces of paper with the three of the worst karmas you did in your life that you would like to clean, okay? Like something serious, you know? Anything you'd like to clean, okay? The act of writing it down cleans it, okay? The act of admitting it. Sojong is a very powerful rite. If it's done well, you can remove those karmas, okay? So it's very... The fact that nowadays they don't really do it in a monastery is a very sad thing. They're not getting rid of those karmas, you see? So take a lot of time. You've got, what, 3 hours. Take your time. Think about it carefully. Three pieces of paper with the things you're most proud of in your life, or recently, and then three pieces of paper with things you really want to clean, all right? Then we'll bring them at 7 o'clock. We'll meet here, and we'll have two big boxes, and you can throw all of your good ones in one box, and we'll all throw all of our bad ones in another box. Don't sign it, okay? Which assures anonymity. Okay, you'll remain anonymous, okay? If you want to do Sojong together, but I've done that in past years. I had a little club, Sojong club, maybe two or three monks who were serious. After Sojong, we'd go do a real Sojong, you know, together. And it's something you can continue if you wish. You can do it on the full moon, and you can do it on the black moon. And you get together with your little Sojong club, okay? You write your good stuff since the last time the Sojong club met. And then you write down all your bad stuff. And then you put it into two boxes. If you're doing it with other people that you trust, you can actually tell them, you know, what you did. That's what we do. My Sojong club. You go around and everybody... We always make a fire. We always have popcorn. We always have hot chocolate. We have tormas. Okay, there has to be two plates of nice offerings. Okay? So then you can do it yourself, okay? First you make a fire, and then you invite all the Buddhas to come listen. And it's a very moving moment, okay? Like somebody gets up and says, we would like all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in this galaxy to come and be here around our fire with us in the air, right? They don't like to sit on the ground. And then you try to feel them, because they will come, you know, and try to feel that they are there, you know, and they are listening to your confession, right? Then you tell your things, right? We go around in a circle. We don't do all three. I do one, he does one, he does one, he does one. Then I do my second one, then they do the second one. And you just listen to the other person, okay? And you give them a chance to admit what they did wrong. And you're supportive, right, obviously. And then you take all those together and you start burning them one by one. We throw them in one, but we don't just throw them all in at the same time. Throw the worst one in and watch how it burns. Because that's a sign. We think that's a sign. Okay? Like if it goes whoosh, then I like to think, this is not in the scriptures, okay? This is just my Sojong club thing. We all sit there and go, you know, and if it burns really fast, we're all like, yay, you know. And then sometimes you throw it in and it floats off over there. And then you throw it in again. And then finally you throw it in and it just sits there. And you can still read it. And then you like throw coals on it and it won't burn, you know. And then everybody's like, I think you got to work on that one. It's like, I don't know. So anyway... That's just not in the scriptures. That's a superstition of my Sojong club. And then we always have a break, and we drink the hot chocolate, and we have some popcorn, and we enjoy. We sit and just enjoy each other. It's like a bridge club, right? And then after that, we all read our good deeds. And we kind of end on a high note, you know. We all go around one by one. So it's three rounds around the fire. And everybody says the cool stuff they did, you know. And then you burn those. And if they burn fast, you think, oh, that means I'm going to be able to do that more. Like that. I don't know. We just have that idea. And then you set out offerings for the holy beings, right? So they are also eating while you're eating. And then you leave the offerings for the spirits and the animals, right? You leave them out there. And then the last thing you have to thank the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, okay? You don't just leave them there and all walk home, because they get stuck there. So thank them for coming, ask them to come again, ask them to help you keep your... You should come out of a sojong with one, what do you call, resolution. Okay? You should come out of a sojong with at least one resolution. So the last thing you do is you say, okay, I have a resolution. It's one of the four powers, right? And you say, okay, so I have a problem with so. I tend to get angry with so and so, and that keeps coming up in my sojongs. If you do sojong regularly, it starts to get repetitive. You know, you're like, I gotta tell you guys something really bad. And they're like, what? And you say, I yelled at so. Oh, come on, that's been the same every week for like 6 weeks. And you're like, yeah, but I can't stop. You know, and then it starts to get repetitive if you're honest. And then, by the way, honesty is key, right? People tend to admit their second worst thing and not their first worst thing. And try to figure out what's your first worst thing. But then make some kind of plan, right? At the end, say, okay, I have this problem. This person irritates me. This person does this thing. And I don't say anything, but I go home and I grump about them, okay? So this next 2 weeks, until the full moon, I'm going to try to reflect on how they're coming from me. You make some little resolution, okay, at the end of sojong, okay? So you have to do that tonight. So our plan, Rob and my plan, will come here, we'll throw all the good deeds into one box. Don't get them mixed up, it's kind of disturbing. You know, you pick somebody's good deed out, it was like, yelled at so-and-so, and you're like... So, and then we'll pass the box around, and you take one good one out, and you take one bad one out. And then we'll pass the microphone around, okay? And you read the good one. Sorry, you'll read the bad one first. After all the bad ones are finished, we'll take a break. And, then we'll read all the good ones. And then we go down and burn them, okay? I don't want you to sit out there for 2 hours. So we'll do part of it here. And then we'll go down and burn them. And you can stay as long as you want. You know, there will be s'mores there besides those s'mores. Where are those s'mores? There's always s'mores. There's Sheree, Summer, Bonnie, Michael. It's always more. But we'll have refreshments down there. And then you just come down silently, and you will offer to the fire the good one and the bad one of that person that you chose. That means there'll be excess left over in the box. Rob will burn those nightly. Okay? And then what I like to do, to me, fires are very meditative things, and we will just, you can stay at the fire as long as you want, or you can just go home. And then just stand at the fire, watch the fire, and look at the stars and think about your resolution, okay? Your plan for the next couple of weeks, okay? All right? Good? Then that's a real sojourn. Okay. We have about 15 minutes left. Let's do questions. Anybody has any questions? Jared? What's faster?
Thank you for everything, Lars. We tend to make a leap into karma very quickly. As kindness is the staple to the karmic staple, what makes kindness work?
I like that question. Why does kindness work? And this got into a question. You know, when you're going to countries like China and you're teaching thousands of people who never heard anything before, you get the best questions. You get really, really good questions. And China is strange. China has gone through 50 years of a... You can call it... The American press calls it repression, right? But when you go there, you appreciate a lot of what happened there in the last 50 years. I mean, before, there were tens of millions of starving people. Everybody has a car and a refrigerator now, okay? I mean, people have prosperity. And there's been a mindset of taking care of each other for 50 years. They were real communists. And they determined to stamp out poverty, and they did. And it was equal. The way it got started was violent. And there was a lot of violence done. But they had this incredible karma of having tried to take care of everybody in the country, feed everybody in a country that didn't have enough food for 5,000 years. And so they've created an interesting karma. Some of their karma is quite good. They will be an economic power because of that attempt, karmically, to take care of everybody. And a lot of that was violence and that was wrong, but a lot of it was pure. And they're gaining that karma result. And they will be the world's leading power because of that. They don't even understand that. But they will be, you know. Censorship means they haven't been exposed to a lot of like super violent movies or sex and things like that. It hasn't been part of their culture to sell Coca-Cola with sexy girls or motor oil. You know, they haven't been had that for 50 years in their country. So that some of the censorship methods are bad. The result of the censorship is good. They think clearly, and they think more clearly than Westerners. And it's interesting, because they haven't had all that crap in their head about consumerism. Now they're getting 110% of it, which is sad. But anyway, they actually think more clearly and faster, right? So somebody asked that question. You know, a Westerner might not ask that question. Why does karma work? Why do I have to do this for somebody else for it to come back to me? You know, why does kindness have an effect? And they ask questions like that, like very basic questions. I'll tell you the coolest question, which is not on the subject. A computer scientist, a kid, he's like 20 years old. He's like, first talk in Guangzhou. He's never heard anything Buddhism before. He's like, let me get this straight. I said, okay, what? He said, if I want an aspirin to work for me, I have to help someone else with a headache. Is that correct? I said, yes. And he said, and that explains why some aspirin work and some aspirin don't work when you have a headache. I said, right. So he said, so when an aspirin works for me, it's because I've helped someone else with a headache. And when it doesn't work for me, it's because I didn't help someone else with a headache. I said, that's correct, you know. Then he said, then you said, if some of my friends got a headache, I should offer them an aspirin. And I said, yeah. And then he's like, ah, you know? And then he said, you're telling me that to give someone a thing that doesn't work is going to make your aspirin work? Like, he got it. It was a very sophisticated question. You know? You're giving somebody a pill that only works half the time? And that's going to make your pill work all the time? I don't get it. You know? Whew. But I'm not going to tell you the punchline. All right. So anyway, they asked this question. All right. It's intention, right? It's mostly intention, okay? Right? It's intention. If the person was close enough to you, you could explain to them about how they should help other people. With aspirin, it didn't work, okay? Anyway, it's this cool thing. We call it the donut debate, right? We do it in the DCI training to explain why karma works, okay? Why do I have to plant a seed with someone else? You know? Why is that? Why do I have to help someone else? Why do I have to go to a nursing home to help a lonely person to plant a seed for me to have a boyfriend? Why do I always have to plant seeds with somebody else, right? Then you get into this thing, okay? It's a logic flow. It's subtle and it's beautiful, okay? I like donuts, okay? I used to, before I met Anatole. He ruined everything. So, let's say I really like donuts, you know? And then you ask somebody, where do donuts come from? And then some people will say, from a store. And then you say, well, how did they get in the store? And they'll say, there's flour, there's water, there's sugar. A guy gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he makes them, and then they put them out in the store, you know? And then you say, how do you get one of those donuts? And the person says, you take money, and you go to the store, and you buy the donut, and that's how you get a donut. So then logically you can say, so are you saying whenever you have the money and go to the store, you will get the donut that you want? What do you say? It's not the case, right? I mean, they're always running out of your favorite donut. Am I right? Every other kind is there and there's a big hole on the kind that you like. You know? And so you can have the money and not get a donut that you want at the store. If something can fail sometimes, it means it's not the cause. Okay? If an action can fail sometimes, it's not the real cause of something. If money were the way to get a donut, it would never fail. If it were truly the cause of getting a donut, it would never fail. If it's possible to go to Dunkin' Donuts and they're out of maple-covered donuts and you have the money, that means the money didn't cause the maple-covered donut. And that's very, very, very profound, okay? You think it's just some silly thing, okay, Geshe-la, just have another kind. Don't be so, you know, stuck on maple covered. By the way, I don't like maple covered anymore, it's just an example. No, I get all these, anyway. Also, it's the case that if you go to your friend's house, and they're the one that bought all the maple covered donuts from the store before you got there, and even if you don't give them money, you will get a maple-covered donut, okay? That, in two ways, that proves that money is not how you get things, okay? The exchange of money for things is not the reason you get them, which calls into question working, but I won't go there, okay? For getting things, for obtaining things, it calls into question normal working, okay? Which calls into question the activity of 7 billion people, except for you guys. All right? But we won't go there. We won't say 7 billion people are working for nothing or don't know what they're doing. Because that would be weird. So what's the real cause of a donut, right? According to this system, if I want donut, I must cause someone else to get a donut. Okay? The only way... Every donut you ever ate came from giving someone else a donut, right? In this system, okay, you will only eat as many meals as you offer to other people. Throwing in the exponential effect of karma, okay? It's not technically true. You can give one meal and get 100 back, right? Anyway, so if it's true that I can only, that all the donuts I ever ate ultimately came from a seed in my mind which was planted when I gave someone else a donut. Is that correct? In this system? Yes. That means that to see a donut cross into my mouth, I must cause a donut to cross into someone else's mouth. Am I right? I mean, if this system is correct, for a donut to cross into my mouth, cross the border of my lips, right, and teeth, then I must cause a donut to cross the same border in another mouth. Am I right? I mean, in this system, that's how it works, okay? Then the next question comes. Okay, Jana has a mouth. I have a mouth. Her mouth is over there, my mouth over there. Is Michael's mouth Jana's mouth visually? No. Hers is over there. Hers has lipstick, I think. Mine doesn't have. Mine's over here. So visually, her mouth is over there. My mouth is over there. They're not at all the same mouth. Visually, right? Now I'm going to ask you again. Is her mouth my mouth functionally? Do I have to put a donut in her mouth to get a donut in my mouth? In this system, there's no choice. No donut ever existed that wasn't created by putting a donut in someone else's mouth, by causing a donut to go into someone else's mouth. There is no such thing as a donut that came any other way. That's emptiness, by the way. Okay? So when I put a donut into her mouth, whose mouth am I putting a donut into? Both of our mouths. Okay? Functionally, is her mouth different from mine? Functionally. No different. Okay? If I'm hungry, and if I like maple-covered donuts, and I want a maple-covered donut, don't take money and go to the store. Don't put on lipstick and go look for a boy, okay? Plant a seed by putting a donut in her mouth, by seeing that she gets her favorite donut. And then you have put one in your mouth, okay? Functionally, Jana's mouth is Michael's mouth. Okay, it's very difficult. You get New Age people say we're all one, and you're like, okay, then give me all your money. You know, okay. No, I mean like that, right? But in this system, logically, you are me. Okay, you are me. And somewhere in there is the answer of why you have to give someone else a donut. Or why you have to be kind. Why kindness is the glue that binds karma. Somewhere in there is the answer. Because you're not giving it to someone else. And kindness, to give to yourself is to give to someone else, and to give to someone else is to give to yourself. And you never were different from them. It's very interesting. Kindness, to render kindness to someone is to acknowledge that they are you. And that's the real condition of our world. And only when you pay a kindness to someone else do you admit who you really are. And all the rest of the time you're deluded. And somewhere in there is why karma works. And that's subtle, so you have to think about it. Okay? Work on it. Work on it. Okay? Karma requires that you do something for someone else because they are not someone else. How's that? And only by doing it do you realize that. Or do you recognize that. Okay? You gotta work on that. It's very profound. If that were the case, then the whole usage of modern language in the world, every one of the languages in the world is defective. There's no word for Jana Michael's mouth. Okay? Maybe later language itself will change. The The fact of pronouns in every language on this planet, me, you, I, we, is mistaken. And it's just another reflection of the fact that no one knows what's going on. Okay? It's very interesting. Probably, as this worldview spreads in the world, language will change to accommodate it. And there will be no new pronouns for John and Michael. You, me, you, me, you, me? How do you say corn in Chinese? Corn. Corn. Yumi. That's what I said. It'll be a new word, okay? Yumi. That'll be a new word, okay? There'll be a new pronoun. Yumi, okay? Really, language itself will change. Maybe enlightened people don't have to talk much. Okay. All right. Let's stop there. It's very profound. Very, very profound. Okay. Probably they won't use language the way we use it. Why haven't they contacted us? There's no language they can use for you. All right. Do a thing. Bhuti Tushi Meto Otam Vira Blingshi Nende Kempadi Sangye Shinde.